All right, welcome everybody back to Chairgating. This is episode 11, so this is our last Roman numeral.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last Roman numeral me or Jay actually know, which is why we picked this one to end the Roman numeral. What are we going to do now? What are we going to change it to?
We'll just do actual numbers like 1, 2, rather than XII.
Whoa.
Or we could just do a name. We don't have to number them anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to seem like a nerd and just put like numbers. This is our last rumor season episode, so everybody get hyped. This is the finale of rumor season, and supposedly Jay actually has a rumor this time.
No, I don't. Yeah, let's say that.
God damn it. I didn't get a rumor, just in preparation to hype up your existence of a rumor, supposed existence of a rumor. So that's it. It's our finale of rumor season because the college football season is actually starting. So this is our last episode before the start of college football season, which is the whole reason we're doing this thing. So let's get into it. All right, Jay, we got an update alert.
What's up?
Hugh Freeze.
Yep. What's more news coming. More news coming out of Oxford. Man, he just cannot get out of the headlines.
Yeah.
And it's such a juicy subject because Hugh Freeze built himself up as this godly image. You know, his Twitter was always flooded with these like Bible verses and just
right.
When you build yourself up like that, you better live up to that kind of image. You better not slip up. And good Lord, has he slipped up? Literally. Not only with all these escort services, but that you see that most recent one about the massage parlors.
Yeah.
It was in Houston, too. It was a Houston area code.
He's got to get those recruits, man. That's what it is. Those good Houston recruits. Those big boys down in Houston. I'm from Houston, homie.
I'm from Houston, homie. But the best part is when they line up these visits, because all these are, you can find these phone records, which is the most confusing part about all this, because he could have redacted any of this. There's so many confusing parts about that, but this is definitely, like, why wouldn't you redact any of this personal calls? but my favorite is when they line up these visits with his tweets and his pictures that he posts on Twitter. So you can, you know, line up that phone record with what he was actually doing like 10 minutes after that. And he was on a visit with a recruit and he was tweeting about his family and his anniversary.
That's even more ruthless.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can like line it up and create this timeline. And then you can like see the picture of Hugh Freeze smiling with these recruits the same day that he was at this massage parlor.
I'm pretty sure I've been to that massage parlor. I'm pretty sure I saw him there.
You could have.
It was who of Houston.
Outcall Body Massage. Is that what it's called? I'm looking at it right now.
I don't know. It's probably closed now, but
I've got their number right here. I can.
Well, they have. Here, try to call them.
It's $180 an hour. You want me to call them?
Yeah, just ask. Be like, has Hugh been in recently? Just ask.
Okay, let's see.
Put it on speaker so everybody can hear this.
Yeah, 832. I'll blur out the rest. I mean, it's pretty easy to find. You just look it up.
832. It's not even 281 or 713. That's so weak.
All right. It's on speaker. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
This is going to get me some kind of virus on my phone.
Pretty sure that's not the virus people worry about.
This place is open 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. Why not just make it 24/7? Does it make sense? I don't think they're gonna answer.
Do you know if it's in Chinatown? It seems like one of the
places. Your call has been forwarded to an automated
voice. Wait, hold on.
Listen
to the voice message.
8-3.
It's not even. Wow, that is so sketchy. Hang on.
Maybe they disconnected it. No, if they disconnected it, probably.
It wouldn't have went through to a voicemail.
That's right. Damn.
What's the place called?
I honestly have no clue. It's just this Craigslist posting.
So maybe it's not even
like
the.
And then just a whole bunch of pictures of their masseuses.
So maybe it's not even like an actual.
Oh, call now or text, so you can text.
Okay. Do you want to shoot him a text?
I'm not going to shoot him a text, but that's. I gave him a call, so I think it's up to you.
Okay. Hey, it's iPhone. They're not supposed to get viruses.
Yeah, so that's.
I'm pretty sure this is probably like one of the places, though, in Chinatown.
It could be, for sure.
Because they have a lot of these that you drive by when you're in Chinatown, and it's just like you know what it is. They're like trying to be, it's like pleasant hand massage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. fun time penis massage. You know, like pretty obvious stuff. So
is that what they said? Damn.
Yep.
That's pretty obvious.
So, I mean, shout out to all the HBU people, Houston Baptist over there in Chinatown. They know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty much the update on Heat Freeze.
Well,
I'm sure more stuff will come up since these phone records are now public. People are just going to keep going through all of these numbers, finding out more stuff, unfortunately.
Well, to all of our listeners, they know we tried over here. We tried to get a hold of them.
We gave it a shot.
Yep.
Just feel bad for his family. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. That does suck. Because if he's tweeting all this stuff, he probably raised his family to be like that, like go to church all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Yeah,
I mean, they're still in Oxford, so like his daughters both go to Oxford High School.
They haven't left yet?
No.
Oh.
I'll find out right now.
Are you going to call them too?
I'm pretty sure he tweeted about it.
Are you going to call his kids too? Hey, what do you got to say about your dad?
I hope they change their numbers because those are probably in the records too.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, no. Because he retweeted a thing about his daughter playing for Oxford High School volleyball.
Like still?
Yep. This was 2 weeks ago.
I wonder how his kids are treated, because before all this, you know they were treated like gods, like walking through school. Like nobody would touch them. But now, do you think it's such an Oxford thing to where they just hate his kids now?
No, I don't think so. Spending 4 years in Oxford, yeah, you do have crazy people, but most of those crazy fans are from out of the Oxford community.
Oxford
community is real. It's real nice. It's small. It's a nice little area. So I could see how they kind of like adopted him. They probably don't think too highly of their father, but
it's not like those Starkville people, right?
No, I'm sure Starkville's pretty similar. It's not as nice, but
okay,
most of the crazy fans
come
from those small cities in Mississippi.
Small cities?
Small towns, whatever.
I don't think they have one small city, barely. So we're just okay. I'll let you slide on that one because you lived in Mississippi. Okay, so that's our update alert. And now we have some breaking news. We have this Robert Lee story coming out of ESPN. Jay, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, this happened last night. And this is just...
So peak. Breaking news for me, because I woke up and looked on Twitter this morning.
This is just peak Twitter outrage. coming from both sides. There's no level head in this whole situation right now.
Yeah, I need to get off Twitter.
So it's just like, you can't make this stuff up. Obviously, everybody knows about the Robert E. Lee, obviously the riots, the protests, blah, blah, blah.
Charlottesville, blah, blah, blah. Riots, protests,
don't want to get too far into that.
Racial tension in America. Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
So, okay. Understood. UVA starts their season next week against William & Mary.
Also in Virginia. Just want to mention that.
Yeah. And so in that same city... that one of the ESPN play-by-play announcers scheduled for that UVA game was Robert Lee. And so, I mean, like I said, you can't make this stuff up. He's Asian, though. Like, Lee is a very popular Asian last name.
Yeah. No, that's...
So rather than just let it be, they tried to, behind closed doors, switch him games. They didn't fire him. They're not letting him go because of political reasons. They just wanted to switch him games, see if anybody would notice. Well, someone leaked that information. And then once the public got a hold of that information, because it's going to get leaked. Yeah, now everybody's freaking out. People thought he was being fired. People thought this was just outrageous. And then one of the ESPN executives, I don't know if this is an official. Yeah, it was an official statement talking about like they just didn't want it to be a meme. They didn't want to make his broadcasting career a joke.
Oh, my God. They just made him the whole thing a joke.
Yeah, no one knew Robert Lee before this.
No.
And now,
and I guarantee nobody would have like even put it together.
No. I mean, yeah, maybe a few people would have seen it and tweeted about it,
but if
I don't think people would have been mad about it.
Well, if he has such a big like career, nobody's noticed that before. A guy named Robert Lee that's Asian.
I wouldn't say nobody. I feel like people probably have noticed it.
It's just not been a popular thing to talk about, yeah. I guess. This was such a dumb thing. I woke up this morning and got on Twitter and didn't understand it until I like looked up the context, and it was the General Lee car from Dukes of Hazzard like sliding around traffic, and it was like Robert Lee leaving the ESPN office in Connecticut.
Yeah,
and
it's
they've turned it into a meme. They've done exactly what they didn't want to do.
Yeah, you can't tell the internet don't make this into a meme, because all you're doing is you're begging them to make it into a meme.
They're trolls. That's why they're trolls. This is what they do. Yeah, that was a bad move. It would have been even better if UVA was playing like Washington and Lee or something.
Yeah.
A school's namesake of Robert E. Lee.
Damn. Yeah, that's a missed opportunity.
That is a big missed opportunity. UVA, though, was created by Thomas Jefferson, who owned slaves, and slaves helped build that university. So hot mm-hmm. take. Hot take on that one.
So we'll hop off that topic.
Okay. Okay, that was a good topic.
That's crazy. I wonder if he's going to be able to do any UVA games this year.
Yeah.
I feel like there's 129 other schools. Just have him do those schools. Like, let's just for the time being, I feel like let's just avoid that.
But what, avoid every Southern school? Because if that's your concern.
But Charlottesville, like the school UVA, like that's the 1 in 130 chance that you're going to get that.
Technically, any Southern school has some kind of, like, old Southern school has some kind of connection to Robert E. Lee. You don't think that any other school would matter then in the South?
No, but I feel like all the protests and the public protests have been... The big one was in Charlottesville.
Because, what, Ole Miss, during the Civil War, housed injured soldiers. Boom. That's bad. There's something with Alabama and Tuscaloosa. And like Jefferson Davis.
Of course. Probably every Southern university, big Southern university, has some sort of connection
to the Confederacy.
Either connection or statue of some sort.
Oh, definitely statues. 100%. UT had statues. And like there was no Confederate battles fought in Austin. I mean, I know Texas technically was part of the Confederacy, but I'm not going to get into semantics here about how many people died in the Civil War. But yeah, UT just, I think last year, had to take them down because people were spray painting them and
yeah. Back to your point though, the reason that the Robert Lee in Charlottesville was such a big deal is because it was the Robert E. Lee statue that started this whole thing.
Right. Yeah.
So like matched up perfectly.
I don't know what else you can say about this. Like so on the surface. Okay, so shout out to Hugh Freeze's kids, his daughter. We feel for you. Shout out to Robert Lee, the journalist. We feel for you. Okay, this is a very sympathetic episode already. I just want to mention that. Yeah. We're only, like, feeling sorry for people. So we need to start hating somebody. We'll talk about, like, UT and Herman maybe a little bit later so I can start hating someone again. Moving on, we will talk about the state of Texas. UTSA versus Texas State, they officially announced their rivalry. What is it, the I-35 showdown?
Hey, don't forget, it's HEB I-35 showdown. That was a big thing.
Shout out, HEB, you paid for that spot. There you go. You paid for that huge UTSA versus Texas State spot. So
yeah, and I saw one of the comments on Reddit when I was reading this was, is there anything more Texas than an HEB I-35 showdown?
Bucky's.
Yeah, that was the comment. It was like, yeah, if it was also sponsored by Bucky's.
Yeah.
And Dr. Pepper.
Yep, and Blue Bell ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Bucky's needs to sponsor something now, just to prove that they're even. They need to sponsor Sam Houston for Stephen F. Austin, the Battle of the Piney Woods. That's very Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's East Texas. That's like, and it's played in Houston, which is out of the way for either school. So,
is it I-10 that runs through Houston?
Yeah.
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 That's another big Texas interstate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because it runs Houston and San Antonio and El Paso. It runs across the whole state. And, yeah, you take 10 from Houston straight to San Antonio, just like you would take 35 from San Antonio through Austin to Dallas. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of like the two biggest ones.
Hey, don't forget San Marcos.
Sorry. Yeah, it's San Marcos and New Braunfels. And you know what, Kyle?
How far are San Marcos and San Antonio?
How far are those two places? Probably, like 40 minutes?
I really hope this actually becomes a cool rivalry.
Well, so the thing is, they're announcing it as a rivalry, but I remember in high school, at least for basketball, it already was called that, the I-35 showdown. Yeah. Right? It wasn't sponsored by HEB, but this was before UTSA had a football team.
Yeah. I hope this HEB sponsorship actually, like, provides some...
Helps hype it up. I think it could be a really cool, like, minor, you know...
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Rivalry. It's not going to become Texas-Texas A&M, even though... That hasn't happened in a while, but if
well,
it's
technically
some kind of cool
Texas, you know,
because I feel like TCU Baylor is pretty cool, like rivalry, but it's not super heated. I don't know.
I'm telling you, the Sam Houston and Stephen F. Austin is the best one in Texas. It's so overlooked. So I, obviously, for anyone that doesn't know, I went to the University of Houston, just FYI. And I was in a fraternity.
Different than Sam Houston, by the way.
Very different than Sam Houston. We are actually in Houston. That's the difference. So we would have parties, like, every year during the Battle of the Piney Woods because they played at NRG. And both, you know, schools, fraternities would show up. And they have a lot of people at that game. Like, they're very serious about that game. That's their biggest game of the year. So it's a big rivalry. And I remember taking a tour when I was, like, a junior in high school at Stephen F. Austin, and I was wearing an orange polo. And the lady, of course, if anybody doesn't know about Nacogdoches, Texas, it is very, like, backwoods, back piney woods, East Texas. And she was like, "That's the only color we don't wear around here, sweetie." Like, they're serious about this rivalry. Nobody knows about it, but they're serious about it. Yeah. So I think it's awesome. And if UTSA and Texas State can turn it into something similar to that, that'd be really cool. The only problem is Texas State literally could care less about football.
Yeah, that's the big thing. They got it over. They actually have to get good at football first.
Yeah, the what's really shitty is their tailgates compete with any Big 12 school here in Texas. I've been to a decent amount of tailgates here, and Texas State's tailgating competes with all of those schools. It really is, like, up there for the people that show up, and mostly just their partying. I mean, Texas State tailgates are really phenomenal. But
then they just go straight from the tailgates
back to their houses or back to the bars. Yeah, nobody actually goes to the game. So it's really sad. If they could get that many drunk people in the stadium, I mean, their stadium is a pretty good size. It's really nice. If they could get those drunk guys in the stadium to yell and talk shit, like, their stadium would actually be a pretty, like, tough place to play. But nobody cares. Yeah. And they're kind of proud of it. You'll be at a fraternity tailgate, and they're like, "Yeah, we're getting fucked up here, like, blah, 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 but we're not going to the game. Like, fuck that." It's like, what? Why? I don't know. They play some pretty, like, fun teams to watch, because we played them last year, and I went to the game, and there was more Houston fans there than Texas State fans. We sold out the stadium, but it was, like, all Houston fans. It was weird. So UTSA has a pretty good fan base that they've been building up. I think UTSA actually cares about their program.
Mm-hmm. It seems like they do. I mean, they're hiring those pretty big coaches.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, they have to play at the Alamo Dome, which is off campus, which is unfortunate. But it's a good use of space for the city. And, you know, it's a good-sized stadium. They'll never fill it up. That's kind of the problem. But they care about the program. I just don't think Texas State does. I think UTSA would come in to play them, and people at Texas State would be like, "Yeah, we don't really care."
Yeah, it's unfortunate, especially because the Bill Connolly, the new S&P Plus rankings, Texas State is dead last, yeah. 130 out of 130.
I mean, there you go, though. I guess you can't blame these students that just don't want to watch. How many years is it? They've maybe not dead last, but they've been in the bottom 10. No, I think last year they were dead last also.
Yeah, I think they only won two games last year.
Yeah, I know when we played them, it was just really, really ugly. Really ugly. We had a true freshman. He was like the first guy ever to return for a touchdown, throw for a touchdown, catch for a touchdown, and I think even run for a touchdown. It was something crazy like that. So they're a really bad team.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have their quarterback is a Mississippi State transfer, Damian Williams.
This year? So he's just coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, who the fuck would transfer there?
What do you mean? I feel like it's a pretty cool place, and if you don't have playing time at a big D1 school, you definitely go there and get some PT.
Yeah. I mean, San Marcos is a cool place, no doubt. It's definitely a fun place. If you're going to, like, have fun in college, then sure, you could go there. Why would you want to be on that team? It's so bad.
No, I mean, it's all about PT.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I would choose Hawaii if that's the case. But moving on. Like, we all here know that Jay's supposed to be the stats guy, but once again, he just hasn't brought anything to the table. So I had to be this numbers guy for the second week in a row. So far, I think I'm killing it, by the way, Jay. I think maybe I'm going to take over that spot. I found an article from 2 years ago talking about coaches and their winning percentage against top 25 teams, and I thought that was pretty interesting. So what I did is I updated that list and have anybody pretty much over 500 is on this list. And there's not many of them. But I don't know. Maybe there was, like, one more that I missed. This is just I was going off this other article. I'm just going to read through these real quick. I will say Gus Malzahn dropped out because in 2005 he went 1-3, and in 2016 he went 2-4 against ranked opponents. So he's out.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Kelly, still in it. In 2015 he went 2-3. In 2016 he went 0-2, but before that he was 17-13. So he's at 51.3%, still in it. Also a surprise, Kevin Sumlin's in it. He is 15-14 overall. I mean,
damn, that's interesting.
I know, right? There a lot of these coaches that are on it are coaches that are being talked about like losing their jobs, which is mm-hmm. really unfortunate. Maybe they used to be good, now they're not. Right after that is Mark Richt, lost his job at UGA. So part of this was like from UGA and then over transferred over to Miami. He is 39-36 with 52%. Gary Patterson, 22-20, 52.4%.
Mm-hmm.
I love Gary Patterson. I think he's a great coach. Jim Mora from UCLA is 13-11, 54.2%. Except in 2016 he went 0-4, and people are questioning it. Nick Saban at Bama, obviously, overall 70-40 at 63.6%.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, 70 wins against top 25. But if you look at his past few years, it's even better than that.
Right, 2015, 8-1. 2016, 9-1. I mean, that's crazy. Because this is counting his whole head coaching career. This is LSU. Yeah. This is Michigan State. I mean, This isn't just like the Nick Saban we know today. This is like his whole head coaching career, and he's still 70-40. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Jimbo Fisher, 16-9, 64%. David Shaw, actually, 20-10, 66.7%. He's still killing it. Urban Meyer, 71.4%, 35-14. Number one, unfortunately, Tom Herman, 100%, 6-0.
Yeah, because he's only played six games.
Yeah, but, I mean, to be fair, he won all six of those games.
Yeah, but this is a sample size issue because look how many games that Nick Saban's played. So are you trying to claim that Tom Herman's a better coach than Nick Saban?
I'm not at all. But
like, what are you trying to take away from this list?
So Tom Herman is the only person on this list to have back-to-back undefeated seasons against ranked opponents.
Playing in a not playing in a Pac-5 school.
So Florida State doesn't count. Oklahoma, they don't count. Beating
they count, but it's different when you're playing. It's different when you're playing Memphis in between those schools rather than Auburn or LSU.
Yeah, but Memphis was ranked. That was a ranked team. Navy was ranked.
Memphis was just an example, but it's different when you're playing some two-win, you know, school from out west rather than you have to play Ole Miss, who isn't ranked.
Look, that's fair. I totally agree. I'm not saying that he would out-coach any of these coaches, at least not yet. You know, he's a new coach. But I will say it is impressive that he was able to prepare for these. In 2015, it was 4-0. In 2016, it was 2-0. Obviously, 2016 wasn't as much. But 2015, he played four ranked opponents and beat them all. That's impressive.
The criticism for Tom Herman's never been his preparation for big games. It's how he doesn't get his players focused for other games in between.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's 6-0 against ranked opponents at Houston. And somehow lost to the basketball schools of the conference, like SMU and UConn.
Also, I like how you're claiming stats, guy. All you did was add a few numbers. It's not like you're...
Hey, that was... I was impressed with myself. I was like, hey, look at me. Stuff down. Look at me, it's finding like out percentages.
You're not even taking a mean or anything. It's strictly just adding and dividing by the total.
You have to find the percentage. That's pretty tough. I don't know if you know how to find percentages like I do.
All I'm saying is I'm not too worried over here that you're going to take over my throne.
Okay. Well, I mean, what do you think about this list?
I just think there's not much you can take away. I feel like we already know that these are the top coaches in the game.
Right.
At least the Urban Meyer, Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban.
David Shaw.
Yeah, I mean, David Shaw is definitely one of the most respected coaches.
I was going to say, he's way up there. He's definitely... Yeah, I think it just solidifies the fact that these are the top coaches that we thought they were, right?
There's no except for Brian Kelly and
right, but like I said, Brian Kelly in 2016 was 0-2 against ranked opponents. So that's his whole coaching career. So clearly Brian Kelly like has been good, which is why he, you know, is the head coach in Notre Dame. You don't get to that level unless you were good at one point.
Also, I don't think you added any coaches other than Tom Herman, right?
I actually did look through a few of like the top coaches, and they did not make the 50%.
Okay.
Yeah, I did go through a list of like, at least it wasn't really a list. I was thinking in my head like, who's a good coach, who's been coaching for a while, or who's even a new coach that I think is pretty good. I looked up their wins against ranked opponents, and they actually did not make it. You'd be surprised how many coaches do not make it. I guess you wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, no, that was it.
Les Miles had a winning record.
Yeah, I wasn't counting people that weren't still coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, from the list I was looking at, which was 2 years ago, there were quite a bit of coaches. Like Bob Stoops was on there, you know, like that. I decided to take off because they weren't still coaching, because I just thought it was irrelevant now. But
I gotcha.
If they come back, well, I'll talk about them. How about that? I'll get my list ready for them. But I also thought it was interesting that all the bottom coaches of this list that are still over 50% are all the ones that are being talked about losing their jobs. So
yeah, they just have a stale feeling.
Yeah, it's because, the past two seasons, you can look, they've had losing records against ranked opponents, and that kind of, I think, translates over, because when you're there and you're losing to all these ranked opponents, you know, for 2 years in a row, people are going to talk about you losing your job. Especially if you set the bar so high, you were really good before.
Well, I don't even think it's about setting the bar so high. It's about how much money is invested in these coaches.
That's true.
They want to see some kind of return on their investment if they're going to pay them $5 million.
Well, how do you think Gus Malzahn's done then?
It's hard because the state of Alabama just compares him to Saban, and you're not going to catch that giant.
It's so sad that they can
a team that can consistently win 8 or 9 games in that state. It sucks that he's going to be on the hot seat pretty much every year, just because.
I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, no, he's very good. It's like I'm saying, it's just he's got such a big measuring stick.
Right.
He's just put in such an unfortunate situation. No one's going to be able to outcoach Saban in that state. So.
Yeah, how unfortunate is it that your biggest rival for the team that you're coaching is Nick Saban,
and is like 2 hours away from you.
Right, and he's now being considered the greatest college football coach of all time.
Yeah, at this point, you just gotta wait him out.
I mean, that sucks. Is he gonna be able to wait him out though? How old is he? Aren't they like the same age?
No, Saban's in his 70s.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that he looks like he's 50.
I know, it's crazy.
I don't understand. Yeah, I guess he could wait.
Actually,
him
he's
out.
Not at 70. That was incorrect. He's 65.
See, okay.
Shame.
But how old's Gus Malzahn?
Gus Malzahn is 51, so yeah, he's got 14 years on him.
Okay, yeah, so he could probably wait him out. The only thing is, will he keep his job long enough to wait him out?
51, that's like a coach's prime.
You know what would be funny is if they release him, and then he goes to some ACC team and just tears it up, and Auburn just sees a huge dip and just gets worse. And then, you know, some like good ACC team just gets like national contender. That would be great. You know, Arkansas did it, and then look at Louisville. UGA.
Yeah, but that was a little bit more than just
that's true.
Discontent with,
okay,
with their performance.
What about
in the field.
UGA? And now he's over at Miami. Mark is over at Miami.
Mark Richt.
Yeah, and they're talking about him bringing back the team to compete in the conference.
Yeah, well, I don't think Miami had a few but down years, but I don't think they were ever really gone.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. If Gus went, like, he would go to, you know, a pretty good, I don't know. I don't know what team would be left. Maybe NC State? Maybe Pitt? I don't know.
NC State, that actually might be a fit.
That would be fun, right? That'd be really
Dave
fun.
Dave Doran's been on the hot seat for a little bit. If he doesn't get it done this year.
It'd be really fun to see Gus at an ACC team, honestly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaches, Art Briles is back in the coaching.
Yes.
Well, I don't think he's actually a coach. It's informal advisor.
Okay.
But man,
is that
Florida
a position
Atlantic
they made up?
Is building quite the goon squad over there.
Yeah, they're going to be dangerous for one season until they lose everybody again.
Yeah, because you got Lane Kiffin at head coach, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator is Art Briles' son, Kendall Briles, from Baylor.
Yep, he was also.
And then their defensive coordinator is Chris Kiffin from Ole Miss, who's also had some issues with the law. So
he's also related to Lane.
Yeah, it's last chance U. And Florida Atlantic's signing all these players from East Mississippi Community College.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I haven't. Is that like in the new season of Last Chance U? I haven't watched the new season yet.
Yeah, it's the new season. I won't ruin it, but some of the star players end up going to FAU.
Speaking of which, I don't want to completely change subjects. Have you watched Hard Knocks at all?
I haven't. I was going to start that last night, but I just got too tired.
Do you like Hard Knocks better or worse than Last Chance U?
Probably better.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it. I think I like Last Chance U better now.
I think Last Chance U is probably done. I can't imagine them making another season that's as good as it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. That's the thing about Hard Knocks is, you know, every single season they have another team to use. They're always coming back with something.
I think the poison of Last Chance U is the recognition, and now players will like go into the office of the academic. Also, I think she left. I think she's really? Gone from school now.
Damn it! Yeah, she's so it's great. Like,
it was cool for that one season when no one really knew. It's kind of like what was that show about Hoover, Alabama? Was it called Hoover? Two days. Yeah.
That was a great show. That was a great show.
There's only so much recognition a small town like that can get before it gets too big, mm-hmm. and people start taking advantage of that. And yeah. I know a lot of the opposing coaches didn't like the film crews coming to kind of like give them a bad name.
Really?
Yeah, I think a lot of teams actually didn't let the film crew come.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so Hard Knocks doesn't face that issue because it's NFL. Like you said, they go to a different team.
I get so annoyed with Hard Knocks. I think I'm done. You watch it and you get like hyped on one team. You're like, I think that could be good this year because I saw some fucking rookie who I feel emotionally connected to and I think he's good.
Like, it's just your own fault. Just don't let yourself get.
Yeah, I just can't help it. I like TV, and when I watch it, I get like.
So you're saying that it's such a good show that it's actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I guess I'm not saying the show itself isn't good. I'm saying maybe it's too good that I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't want reality in my football.
I really liked when they did the Texans.
I did too. That's why I fucking hate that show, because I loved it. I was like, oh my god. The Texans look good again. Like, I don't know. It's just so fucking annoying. Like, I don't know why I fall for stupid shit like that.
Yeah, but I'm definitely going to start it sometime this week.
Yeah.
And then I still have to finish Last Chance U. That's looking forward to that.
When will the Hard Knocks ever actually do a good football program, though?
That's a good question. I'd have to go back and look.
Not program, I guess.
Is there, like, a Hard Knocks curse?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, every single team they use is bad, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was just like part of the thing. They take like one of the worst teams each season.
No. I mean, the Bucks aren't going to be that. Bucks are like favored to win the
division. That's true. That's a good point.
And I remember they did the Chiefs a while ago. The Chiefs are pretty good.
Okay.
Texans weren't terrible last year.
Yeah, the Texans are only like pretty good because they have a really, really good team and they're in the worst division in the whole league. So.
Yeah, like I said, there's two elite teams, there's two trash teams, and every other team is just average.
That's true. It's like, all right, well, that was us talking NFL. Hopefully everybody liked that.
That'll be the last time I hate watching the NFL.
I'm not an NFL fan. Look, I have a favorite team. I'll watch NFL. I'm so much more of a college football guy. That's why.
Yeah, I'm more NFL just to like be part of the community, like go out and watch games at a bar or something.
I'm normal. Instead of joining a club, you can just be a fan of an NFL team and buy a jersey of a person you've heard of twice on Twitter.
Before I get too far off NFL this Texas fans. State, I just thought about this. The Texas State being last in the Bill Connelly's S&P Plus, they're also ranked last in this new poll that came out from ESPN. It's called the Happiness Rankings.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's like...
I saw that happiness thing, and U of H was like fifth in the conference, so I was like, nope, stupid, and I X'd out of it. But maybe they're right because I wasn't happy.
Miserable college football fan bases, and they use six categories to come up with this index. It's the program power, dominance of their rivals, coaching stability, recruiting trend, revenue growth, and Twitter buzz. And once they put all those factors together, Texas State was also last.
That's not happiness or disappointment at that point. It's just they don't care.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. It's like you can't really so far put out that of into... the
happiness realm that they just
right. You could use that on a shitty SEC team or shitty Big Ten team that wants to be better because they're disappointed. I just think that for Texas State, a program like that, they just don't care. It just doesn't really work for them.
Do you want to guess the lowest Power 5 school in this happiness index?
Ooh.
It's in the Big 12.
Okay. Baylor.
No.
Texas.
No.
Well, I guess they got a new coach. Texas is probably hyped. Yeah, that's true. That was a bad one. I was just thinking of the past couple seasons.
Who did Texas lose to?
Kansas or Iowa State?
Kansas, yeah.
Okay. Kansas. But that kind of goes back to the Texas State thing. I think they're so bad that they just don't care.
I think, yeah, I think the bottom, like, 20 spots are reserved for those schools.
Right. It just doesn't work. They don't care. You can't be disappointed if you didn't have any expectations at all.
Well, it's not disappointment. It's just happiness.
What's the title of that? I thought there was another end to the spectrum.
Happiness index? Happiness and miserable.
Miserable?
Yeah, so, it's like the opposite of happiness.
Well, I don't think they're miserable about their program either. I just don't think they care, is my point. Like, I don't think it applies to them at all. Mm-hmm. I think if they won, like, three games, their happiness would start to increase a little bit. Because they'd ask them, how do you feel about this program? And they go, oh, we're doing pretty good this year. We won three games. Like, or most people would just say, I don't know. Who did we play at a program like that? Because nobody cares. I didn't like that list because I immediately went to Houston and saw that they were, like, middle of the conference for happiness.
What's wrong with that?
I think Houston fans are happier than they've ever been with the program. And obviously there's...
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, obviously there's a lot of concern for the future, but I don't think that's miserable. I don't think that reflects on being... They had UCF as number one for happiness in the conference. Are you fucking high? Like, what? USF, I would say, yeah, they should be fucking happy. USF is looking great. Tulsa should be pretty happy. Memphis, maybe, yeah, pretty happy. I still think Houston is the happiest team in the conference still. Maybe if we do shitty this season, you could be like, yeah, we're not happy anymore. But the past two seasons that Houston's had, they have been the happiest they have ever been. I mean,
it's the current state.
Yeah, but we haven't even played yet, so I don't think you can really... I don't know. I disagreed with it wholeheartedly right away.
Of course you do. That's why you're not happy.
I'm not happy because of that fucking list. I was happy before the list, and now I'm not happy. That list made me not happy. So...
Well, speaking of not happy fans and trash teams...
Okay, how are you going to connect this one?
And NFL.
Keep going. Okay.
And there. Robert Lee.
Okay, wow. That's a lot of... That's a circle of connections. All right, what's in the middle of the circle?
You see about what the Chargers are doing with their stadium?
Yeah, I did see this.
Since they haven't built their stadium, they're playing in this soccer stadium. And it's only going to hold... Yeah. 25,000 people?
Yeah, I saw this. And they're like, look, here's the thing, though, with that. It's genius or it's a terrible idea. Because if they don't sell out every single game, then they're going to be like, why the fuck did we just move this team here? You know, with a soccer stadium. But I don't think that's going to be an issue. They're going to sell out every game. And the ticket prices can be sky high because it's so limited seating.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea. I feel like with the decline in... and viewership, this is kind of like a cool little experiment. See what happens.
Right. NFL, the problem with NFL is how extremely high ticket prices are. I mean, yeah. I think that's the biggest issue. This actually makes that worse.
Yeah, ticket because a decrease in supply, demand stays steady. That's just simple microeconomics.
Well, not simple. I mean, that's about as much as I know. But you're right. I mean, it's going to skyrocket. I know... I don't want to go to an NFL game because it's too fucking expensive.
And everything inside is expensive.
Right.
You gotta pay $40 for parking. Then once you get inside, it's like $10 a beer.
I'll probably go to like one game a season at most. Maybe one game every other season. Because I know I'm gonna go and I like have to save up some money and like, you know, I prepare for it.
It's like, it's like a vacation. I just want to bring that up because someone posted that 95 FBS teams and Montana all have higher average attendance.
I saw that. Yeah, that's pretty great. Also, did you see now, because of this, SDSU doesn't have a football stadium.
Oh, so where are they playing?
I honestly don't know. I mean, that's something we should probably look up, but they lost because what's the stadium the Chargers used to play in? The Qualcomm Stadium? I don't know, whatever it's called, where the Chargers used to play. SDSU... you know, doesn't fill it up enough. They don't pay enough to keep that stadium around anymore. So they can't... The stadium's just, like, closing. SDSU is losing their stadium. And so now they're just talking about... maybe they haven't won last season because the season's about to start, I'm sure. But I think they've been talking about soccer stadiums, like kind of like the Chargers are doing. I think maybe that's what they're going to be using this season. And then they're talking about actually building an on-campus football stadium, which they need to. I mean, I understand it's San Diego and trying to get property around you is very expensive. But if you want to be a serious program, then you need an on-campus football stadium, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I think it just depends on the situation.
We were talking about this in the last episode, G5 brand. I think you need to have an on-campus stadium.
I feel like your opinion's so biased because of your experiences with college football.
Okay, but also I experienced a season of college football where we had an off-campus stadium, so I know how it is.
And I feel like that one, you can't use that anecdotal evidence in one case to say that that one experience was that bad that it, you know, transforms to every other school.
The experience wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. I mean, we didn't mind. We had a light rail that took us to the stadium. Tailgating was still pretty fun. The problem is when you get inside and you try to fill it up, it looks so empty every single game, and it just does not look good.
That's the fan base's fault.
To fill up an NFL stadium? No, you need a stadium. So maybe a soccer... Maybe a close but off-campus soccer stadium is what they need. Maybe you're right. As long as you can fill it up is kind of my main point. You want to look like you're filling up your stadium every game or most games. I guess that's my point. Okay, so since we're going to be putting up this episode right before college football season starts this Saturday, August 26th, there are only a few games. They're mostly shitty games, not going to lie, but me and Jay are going to kind of go through maybe a couple of them and just talk about who we think is going to win. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, so I think this is how the format will go. The past few seasons, me and some close friends have been doing a college football pick'em. It's nothing new.
Probably people online. He doesn't have any friends. Go on.
It's nothing new, but every Monday I will go through the following weekend, the future weekend's games, and I'll go through all the spreads. And so rather than doing Alabama versus Middle Tennessee, I'll try and choose that week's games that have the closest spreads. So anything less than a touchdown spread, ideally. Right. And that'll usually yield about 15 to 18 games. Sometimes I can do more, but I kind of like to limit it to the interesting ones.
Well, and so I'm thinking, any more you can't do real research on, I think. It's good to have a more limited amount so we can do some real research and really figure out what we think.
Yep. So I think we'll do that again this season. And like I said, I'll pick the games on Monday, and then we'll kind of write a blog post with those games. Maybe we can make this an interactive thing. I'm not too sure how that'll go. But we will record this episode sometime in the middle of the week, try and release it before the games, which usually start Thursday night.
Right. We'll probably release Thursday.
Yep. So we'll have our picks. We'll have our picks, and then I'll also go through the previous week's results. We'll kind of keep the running tally of who's doing better. This week, obviously, is a little different because it's actually week zero.
Also, just a heads up, whoever likes to bet and listens to this, put your money on me. I'm a lot smarter than him. He knows numbers, but I know heart.
All right, so we could also keep – so usually I just do straight up, but we could do against the spread if we wanted. That'd just be a lot more research on these games.
Yeah.
That'll be something we talk about. But
okay. Yeah, that's
somewhat. This week, since there's only, five games on Saturday – only two of these games actually qualify for this metric that I'm using, and that's Oregon State, Colorado State, and then Hawaii, UMass.
Really? Stanford and Rice doesn't qualify?
Has a... Depends on the bookie you're using, but anywhere between a 30 and a 38-point spread.
Ooh.
Yeah, which is probably some of the biggest year you're going
to
see this season.
Yeah, and Rice, I think they will suck this year, so I wouldn't even... I usually like to just try to validate a reason why the underdog team might win, but that's... Not even win, just beat the spread, but no, I think Rice is just going to get demolished.
Yeah. Looking forward to next weekend. I'm not going to go through the games next weekend yet because all the spreads haven't been released. Yeah. But if we can just make it through this weekend...
Yep.
Next weekend's going to be a lot of fun to pick.
Well, here's the thing. I can make it through this weekend because I've made it this whole time without any football. So, honestly, I welcome Oregon State, Colorado State. I will watch that game.
Mm-hmm. So if we want to go through our picks this weekend, it's only two games. Like I said, this is kind of like a teaser. We will count these towards our record, but this is just kind of to get the audience and us used to the format. And so I guess we're kind of running a little short on time, so I'll just pick my games. We'll
just do straight up instead of over-unders or anything. So
I'm gonna go Colorado State and Hawaii.
Well, fuck, man. I was hoping you were gonna say Oregon State.
Look, there's gonna be a lot of games where we pick the same. So this is just.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I wrote a whole fucking article about why I think Colorado State's gonna beat Oregon State. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they sold out the game, right?
Colorado State. Yeah, in their new stadium.
Yeah, that's really the main reason.
Yeah, they're what did I say, 35,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting hyped. So I guess we agree, Colorado State and Hawaii.
Yeah.
Who's going to pick UMass on that one?
It's going to be a long season. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for us to choose different games. And like I said, it's going to be 15 to 18 games a week. So this two game week is definitely not a sign of what's to come.
Yeah. Yeah, if we're wrong on one of those, I think a majority of the nation was wrong also.
Well, I mean, that Hawaii-UMass game is a one-point spread.
I just don't understand.
It actually goes back and forth. Like, Hawaii's favored in some.
I don't understand. UMass is supposed to be, like, the worst team this year other than Texas State. And Hawaii's supposed to be good again. They're supposed to kind of compete.
Well, the game's in Massachusetts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, does that really – at a 5 p.m. game in Massachusetts in late August, you know, is that really going to affect them that much?
I mean, how far is that flight?
That's true. Yeah, that's a long-ass flight. I guess maybe they do take that into account, though. They're like, now they still have jet lag.
I guess it just depends on how early they get there. I don't know.
Maybe you're starting to convince me that I should take UMass. I can't do it, though. Stop. I know what you're doing.
All right, so we're both going with same teams. But, yeah, that'll be the format we go with this year. Like I said, on Monday I will have the games for next week, and we'll write a little blog post.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for that one. Like I said, I'm cool with these shitty games, and you know, the first day, just to, you know, give us a little dip our toes in the water before we fully jump in. So it'll be nice.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're one of those kids that puts your toes in the water before you jump in, you're a fucking pussy. This only works for college football. Don't actually do that.
That's what I do.
Okay, and that's why you have internet friends. Moving on, Jay, you got Reddit here first?
Extra, read all about it! Read all about it!
Yep, this is from the 538.com, but I found it on Reddit, which is usually the place I find most of my stuff.
Right, that leads you to another website.
Yep. So this is, this came out this morning, so this is, I guess, another breaking news. But this is, which college football teams are always overrated in August? And pretty much just confirms what we all expected.
Let me go ahead and say Notre Dame.
Well, yeah, this is not a subjective ranking. It's just they took the average preseason rank over the past 16 seasons, I think. No, 10, something, okay. 20.
Yeah, I got it pulled up. I just pulled this up.
And then it just compares them to their final ranking, and then it says, were they the same, better or worse? And then, yeah, like you said, Notre Dame, Texas, Florida State, Penn State, and Florida are all the most overrated schools.
Yeah.
Consistently.
70% worse for Notre Dame, Texas, Florida State, Penn State, and Florida.
Yep.
All 70% worse by the end of their season for the past 20 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. 70%?
Yep. And then the top three, Notre Dame, Texas, and Florida State, are only better than the preseason ranking 20% of the time.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. And that's over the past 20 years, Longhorns fans, so don't give me that shit that, oh, lately, blah, blah. No, this is the past 20 fucking years. So yeah. You just are consistently overhyped every year. I don't care. You won one national championship in recent history. Calm down. See, I told you I'd get angry at somebody.
Yep. And so if you do the reverse thing and you sort it by better, then it looks like Oregon is the most underrated, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're 40% of the time worse, 60% of the time better, and 0% of the time the same.
Yeah, so I mean, same. They're changing
a lot. Right. I mean, I know same is unlikely, but there are teams on here with 20%, you know.
Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss right there.
Yeah. So clearly Oregon State moves around a lot to where they're originally ranked. Wisconsin also, 55% better. Utah, Auburn, 50% better. Auburn moves around a lot. They're 5% the same, but they're just...
I think some of these overrated teams, and this is probably just natural, but it's kind of a result of such a high preseason ranking. Like Florida State, their average preseason ranking is 9.4.
Right, which is kind of unfortunate. Like, you don't ask for that, and they give it to you, and then you're like the one season, you know. You can't do that every season. Yeah,
so even if you're just ranked one spot below that, then that's going to fall in the worst category.
Yeah, and I'm sure that happens a lot. I mean, that's... Yeah. That is unfortunate.
That's what happens when you're that good.
What about Texas? Their preseason, 13. So that is preseason high.
Yeah.
Notre Dame doesn't have a fucking excuse. Their average preseason rank is 25, and they're still 70% worse.
That just means 70% of the time they're out of the ranking.
Yeah. Penn State, no excuse. Average 25, and then 70% worse. I wonder if that takes into account, though, with the situation, the scandal, what's the PC way to say it? Raping children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that takes that into account.
I don't know how that would affect it.
Well, I don't either. Maybe for a couple seasons they were still ranked and they just like did really bad, so killed every... I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just trying to connect dots here. Yeah, interesting little list, though. I like it. Is there a reason that they chose like specifically these schools? Are these the ones that have the most change?
These are the teams that have... teams that receive votes in either the preseason or final AP in at least 16 seasons the last 20 years.
So Boise State, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they are the G5 brand then. I got to give it to them. I think they're the only...
It's the only G5 school on this. And BYU, but they're...
Yeah, independent. Right. Yeah. They're still G5. I count them as G5.
So do you count Notre Dame as G5?
Nope.
Strange.
No, but Notre Dame is associated with the ACC for everything but football. So,
all right, what else we got?
So that was Reddit here first. I think the last thing we have for this episode is rumor season. Look at all these rumors surrounding me every day. I just need some time. Sometime you'll get away from all these rumors. I can't take it no more. Oh, I was hoping you wouldn't get to that. It's here, the last rumor of rumor season. It was a fun rumor season. I just want to, you know, give a little speech. It was a good time. We all enjoyed the little rumors that we came up with, mostly me. And I can't wait for next year. I can't wait for another rumor season. We'll start it off right when football season ends. I'll just start immediately firing off rumors about coaches getting fired. I'll make up some inside sources. It's fun. I really enjoyed rumor season. So, Che, finish it off. Finally. You still haven't posted the blog yet, by the way. I just want to mention that.
No, that got deleted somehow, so I don't think it's going to...
Yeah, Jay texts me and goes, "Oh my God, it got deleted. I saved it as a draft. Where is it?" And I go, "Well, didn't you save it on anything else, like a Word doc or anything?" "Well, no. I just saved it as a draft." "Yeah, okay. Okay. That's about as likely as your iguana eating it."
It was saved on there. You could see it. I went back and edited it multiple times.
I never saw it.
It's weird.
Yeah, okay, that is weird.
Here
we go. Right, well. You're going to make up for the fact that you still haven't posted this overhyped blog that you've talked about for a few weeks now. You are going to finally come up with a rumor.
All right, this is a juicy one.
Everybody sit back.
Ole Miss is going to go 11-1 this year.
Is this a prediction? Because you told me no predictions. You said just rumors.
No, I'm saying when Ole Miss goes 11-1 this year.
Okay.
They've already been talking to Nick Saban, and Nick Saban's going to come fix the program, turn it around.
Okay. So you think, okay. You need to turn that into, like, word it as a rumor, though.
Nah, that's not my thing.
Nick Saban, undisclosed sources confirm talks of Nick Saban ending his career at the University of Mississippi.
No, Nick Saban to Ole Miss.
Yeah, he's ending his career by going to Ole Miss. Like that, like he wants to finish up his career at Ole Miss.
Okay, this is why I don't like rumors.
Yeah, you just have to be a little more creative. I like what you're on to, but yeah, he wants to like finish his, you know, he's gotten too complacent at Alabama. They're too good. He wants to see if he can fix a broken program like Ole Miss. Boom.
Yeah, that'll work.
There you go. All right. Jay finally had a rumor, which was Nick Saban going to Ole Miss. That was it. That's what we all been waiting for, everybody. All right. So that was it. Rumor season's officially over. I'll probably play like the graduation song or something as, you know, a way to close out rumor season officially. The actual season's here. So I hope everybody's excited. We're excited over here to actually have something to talk about finally. Because if you've been listening to us this whole summer, good for you. We've had nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
Good commentary. Okay. All right, Jay. Well, I guess that's it. We'll see you again next week, Jay.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to always make these things like a 10-minute soliloquy at the end.
As we go on,
just say goodbye. All right, see ya.